Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
I'm going to give you the title of tonight's message, and the title is Offering My Life Because He Gave His. And again, I think it's so easy for us to get wrapped up in the things that have already passed, and then we're ready to hit cruise control and go back into our regular lives. Maybe you've been serving Jesus Christ for a long time, and you're just, you know, you're going through the motions. I don't know. Or maybe you're newly saved, and you're trying to figure out what to do. But the topic that we're talking about, laying down our life, I think is a good refresher of whether we're brand new or whether we've been doing this for a long time. And as I'm standing up on the pulpit today, I can tell you that it's a good refresher for myself as well. And as I was going through the book of Psalms, and you can turn to Psalms chapter 50, there was some scripture that jumped out at me. And here in Psalms chapter 50, Asaph is writing this psalm, and he was the musical leader for King David. And as he's writing out this song, there's something that's taking place. It says that the Lord is inviting the heavens and the earth to come as he's getting ready to bring a judgment. And so here he's talking about sacrifice. And the children of Israel, here in this section of scripture, they were really good at offering up their sacrifice. They were really good at showing up to church on Sunday. They were really good at lifting up their hands in worship. See, they were good at doing all of the things that good Christian people do. And so here he starts off in verse number 5, and I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard right now. And in Psalms chapter 50, verse number 5, he says, "Gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." And man, when I read that scripture, I highlighted it. I started journaling some notes. Because again, I think sometimes we understand that Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice for you and I. He paid the ultimate price so that we could go from death to life. He was the final sacrifice being put to death. But this does not mean that we stop living a life of sacrifice ourselves. So here he says, listen, I want you to call upon those who are in covenant with me, who brought me a sacrifice. We're going to continue on in verse number 9 through verse number 14. I love this. He says, "Shall I take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds? For every beast of the forest is mine, for the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountain, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats?" I'm going to pause for a second. He says, listen, what you think you're bringing me, I need you to understand something. I don't need what you have. You think you're doing me a favor by bringing your goat or your bull, offering up your food offering like you're doing something special, bringing in what you have, acting again like you're doing it just to benefit me. And so here he goes on, because he says, listen, if I want goats, I'll make more goats. If I want bulls, I can make more bulls. See, I think so many times we struggle with these things, and again, we do our penance to God, thinking that we're so great for what we offer. I love that song that we just sang, listen, let it be costly. Because so many times it's so easy to get wrapped in our mind that everything that we do for God, and we can pat ourselves on the back, thinking that we're so special, not realizing that he owns everything. And when we bring a portion of it back, what does it say? In verse number 14, he says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." He says, if you're going to bring me something, How about bring a thankful heart? How about understanding everything that I've done for you? Every price that I paid for you. Everything that you wake up in the morning and eat, I gave you. Every piece of clothing that you wear, how you created it, I did that. He says, when you bring me an offering, bring an offering of thanksgiving. Because I need you to understand the magnitude of who I am and what I've done. But I love the way he finished off. He says, and pay your vows to the Most High. If you're in this place today, if you've surrendered your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, and you can raise your hand and say that you're born again, here's what you probably prayed as you've stood here on the front row. I surrender all of my heart and all of my life. Those aren't just words that come out of your mouth. That's a vow you're making here on the altar before God, saying, I surrender all of my heart and all of my life. But see, the problem with that is we like to hold on to parts of our life. We say those words out of our mouth without really counting the costs. Now, I think it's great that we do it, and all of us need to do it. If we want to get to heaven, we better do it. And I'm not saying that we have to be perfect. But what I am saying is, listen, it's time for us to pay the vow that we make to the Most High. That when we come to church and we say that we are full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we come to church and we say that we are giving Jesus Christ all of our heart and all of our life. When we come to church and we say that we want to build his kingdom, not our own. That we mean it. That we don't just stop at Easter inviting people to church. We don't just stop when it's something special going out and telling somebody the good news. That we keep working hard every single day to fulfill the vow. When we say, listen, we want this church full, that we're going to continue to go out and build his church. When we say that we surrender all of our hearts and all of our life to him, when he calls us to lay something at the altar, we're not going to hold on to it, but we're going to freely give it to him, because we understand the importance of all of our heart and all of our life. Verse number 23, as we skip forward, he says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. See, we say we honor God, but do we truly? Are we offering up a sacrifice of thanksgiving with our life, saying, listen, I'm willing to do whatever it is, God, you need me to do. I'm willing to pay it all. I'm willing to give my blood, sweat, and tears. I'm willing to give my life because you already gave your life for me. He goes on, he says, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. The New Living Translation says, if you keep my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. Now, I'm going to be a little transparent, because I don't want you thinking, well, Brian, you're just coming over here to beat me over the head. No. Trust me. I have to walk this message out just like everybody else. So I'm going to be a little transparent with you, okay? So there are times where I can find myself throwing a little bit of a pity party. And it's hard to believe. Nobody look at my wife. I'm looking this way. I don't see you, Melissa. Don't be nodding your head. There are times I can find myself in a little bit of a spot where I get a little frustrated about the things that I'm being asked to do from God. Can I be honest? Sometimes I find myself getting a little weary and a little tired. And God gives me some direction on things that he wants me to do. And in my heart, I'm thinking, really? Am I not doing enough right now? I feel like I'm giving a lot, God. I feel like you're asking a lot of me. You know, it's funny, the scripture always comes to my mind, if this cup could pass, let it be done. And I'm thinking, am I really putting the challenges that I'm going through in the same sentence as what Jesus was getting ready to deal with. But the reality is I know I'm probably not the only one in this room that feels like sometimes the ask is just a little too high. That the things that God is asking me to trust in and believe for is a little too much. The ability to walk in the grace of God and have to depend fully on Him. You know, we talk about how great it is that we get to operate in His grace. You know what? When you operate in the grace of God, that means you've already gotten to the limit of what you can physically do. And once you're at that limit, then you have to trust God to take the next step. It's a big ask, but it's a worthy ask. You know, the other day, a couple weeks ago, I was going through some old files. You know, Pastor Dan talked about we have a lot of exes in this church this last weekend, if you heard them. Well, these are my ex files, not the TV show. There's no aliens in here, okay? These are the files from my past. These are court documents, Narcotics Anonymous records. These are all the times I had to go back, my probation reports. All the different things that I had to do as I walked out my new life in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to read to you a letter or a report that was written. And this report was written, it was written when I was arrested by the arresting officer. They have it over here on the screens. Go ahead and put it up, Jason. Now, as I read this report, I'm going to probably get a little bit emotional. Because when you realize what God has delivered you from, when you understand where you once were and how He plucked you out, on May 10th, 2001, at approximately 10:33 p.m., police observed the defendant standing near a Toyota pickup truck on Cal Mesa Boulevard in Yucaipa. The vehicle was parked on the shoulder of the road, and the rear tires were stuck in the gutter. The tail portion of the vehicle had backed over a street reflector. When the police contacted Mr. Schultze, he advised them that his battery had died and he was trying to get it started again. The defendant displayed objective signs of being under the influence. The police observed the outside clip of a folding knife in his waistband of the defendant's shorts. The arresting officer conducted a pat-down search of the defendant and located a brown nylon cell phone case with a plastic baggie sticking out of the top of it. The baggie contained a white powdery substance that field tested positive for methamphetamines. When the defendant's vehicle was searched, an electronic scale was located along with a small portion of a straw, an empty plastic tube with a Bic pen, a brass 50-gram weight, and a AAA card bearing the name of Brian Schultze. And there were also two small Ziploc baggies in which suspected methamphetamines was found. In a backpack, a 6-inch double-bladed knife which was sharpened on both sides and located, and two martial arts throwing stars were also found. Now, this goes on to talk about how I was interviewed. They continued to search my vehicle. I was eventually called in for questioning. But when I read this report, I began to weep because there was a realization of where I once was. And I feel like sometimes it's so easy to forget about the pit that He pulled us out of. It's so easy to forget about what He's delivered us from. It's so easy to forget about the good places that He has taken us to. And see, He asks us, listen, are you willing to go out into the world and tell someone about me? Are you willing to lay down your life? And we're like, well, God, you don't understand. Why are you asking so much from me? See, He could have left me with my drugs. I was 19 years old when I had two heart attacks. I should have been dead. I had multiple guns pulled on me in my life. I shouldn't be standing here on the pulpit. I should be in hell right now. But he saved me. He delivered me. He set me free. He gave me a new life in him. See, we don't have to live according to our past, but when we step into our future, if he says lay it down, let's lay it down. Let's give him all of our heart and all of our life. We lay down our life because he freely gave his. So how do I live a life offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving that brings honor to God? It tells us this in Romans chapter 11, or chapter 11 and chapter number 12. Now don't tell Pastor Dan that I stepped into Romans. He won't be here for a long time anyways. But in Romans chapter 11, it talks a lot about the mercies of God. And here Paul is talking to the church of Rome, and he's telling them, listen, don't be all puffed up at your status. I need you to understand that it was the mercies of God that grafted you in. And it doesn't matter how strong you feel as a branch, I need you to understand that you're nothing without that root you're connected to. And so here he explains this, and he says, look, you need to understand what Jesus Christ has done for you. And so here we pick up in chapter number 12, verse number 1 through verse number 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. See, here he tells us that the life that we live, we are to live as a living sacrifice. See, we now have life in Christ Jesus. We're no longer bound by sin and death. We're no longer bound by our past. The chains have been broken and we are set free. We now have life and life more abundantly. And we are called by God to lay that down. Present our life as a living sacrifice to him. So we're going to talk about a few things on how to do that. First thing I see in this section of scripture is that it brings worship to the Lord. See, when you are willing to lay your life down as a sacrifice, it's how you worship the Lord. See, we just went through some beautiful songs here as a church. You sang them. You might have lifted up your hands. You might have poured your heart out, and you're like, that's worship. Part of it. Maybe for some it's worship. Maybe for some it's just action. See, worship is not singing a song. Worship is not listening to a song. Worship is understanding who it is that's in front of us. The magnitude of who God is. Being so overwhelmed with love for the Father that we cannot stand but to be apart from him. See, when you hear people talk about idols of this world and they worship these idols, the very thought of their name makes people scream and shout and get all excited, right? The passion comes out as they speak of these people because the world worships these men and these women. And so when they think about these people, everything that's about them, it's like, listen, I would give anything for them. I would lay down my life for them. I just want to be around them. I just want to be in their presence. If they were coming in this area, I would be around no matter what. Listen, God is omnipresent. He is with us always. We need to want to be in his presence so bad that we're chasing after it, that we're willing to do whatever it takes to show him that we worship him. But here, we find out that when you offer up your life as a living sacrifice. Let's go back and read it in verse number 1. He says, therefore, I urge you. Remember, therefore, because of what I just said, because I just spent the entire last chapter talking about how you deserved hell, but he gave you life. And because of his mercies, you now have life in Christ Jesus. Because of his mercy, he has grafted you in. Because of his mercy, he has set you apart and made you connected to him. And so therefore, I urge you, you need to pay attention to what he's getting ready to say. He says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now again, because of his mercy, here's your assignment. He goes on to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Man, there's some things I don't want to get rid of in my life. There's some things that I don't want to walk away from. There's some things that I want to hold on to. Yeah, they don't make me any holier. They don't shine the love of Jesus Christ, but there's just some stuff that I just like to hold on to. Listen, we are called by God to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. I know each and every one of us in this room today, there are things in our life that we can shed off, that give him a better example to the world of what he can do. But listen, if we're too busy living like the world, looking the same as all of them, what are we shining? He says, as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. See, when you honor God, when you sacrifice the things of your flesh, when you're saying, God, I am willing to lay anything down in my life that has bridged a gap or given a distance or has kept you at bay, I'm willing to surrender anything that's gonna take away from you being right here with me. See, that is a form of worship, spiritual worship to the Lord. See, it's by you saying, listen, God, I understand that you are good enough and that you are worthy, and I'm willing to lay it all down so that you can be glorified. I'm going to pick up in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20 through verse number 24. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20 through verse number 24, he says, for I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed. Now, I'm going to pause for a second. Listen, to give you a little backstory here, Paul the Apostle writing a letter to the church of Philippi. This is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Paul is so encouraging. He's so motivating. He's so inspiring. And he's writing this letter from prison. He's been arrested for sharing the gospel, for going out and telling people that Jesus loves them. It's crazy to think the freedoms that we have here on this earth, but yet we're afraid to share. But here, Paul, he says, I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. Now listen, Paul the Apostle understands that sometimes your flesh can get weak. So he says, listen, I need to stir myself up. I expect that I'm going to continue to be bold and pursue the things of God regardless of what's ahead of me. And so here he says, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. He says, listen, I know that no matter what, if I'm willing to lay down my life as a sacrifice, it will bring honor to God, regardless of what it costs. So here, he says, for to me, say to me. Well, to a few of you. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. You know what he just said? He says, as long as I have breath in my lungs, I live for Christ. That last part, dying, even better. I'm not going to, you know, my buddy Pastor Antonio makes fun of me all the time because I always talk about what's waiting. I look forward to the day I get to stand before Jesus Christ and hear the words, well done. I'm ready to go yesterday. But as long as I'm here, he says, listen, to live is Christ. He says, he goes on and he says, and dying is even better. This next part, verse number 22, but if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. See, at the time, he's wondering whether he's going to be put to death or whether he's going to walk out of prison. And he's having this pondering because, you know, he's been pretty beat up. He's been shipwrecked. He's been snake bit. He's had all these different things go through. And he's like, you know, his first calling, he's like, I'm going to show him, Ananias, I'm going to show him how much he needs to suffer for my sake. Raise your hand if you want that calling. And so here, he says, he's in prison. He goes, hey, I know that being with Jesus is going to be better than being here on this earth. But I also know that if I'm here on this earth, it means more fruit for you. It means that the body's going to grow. It means the church is going to get more filled up. It means that heaven is going to get a little bit heavier. It means that more people are going to surrender their heart and life over to Jesus Christ. It means that there's going to be fruit on this land. If I have breath in my lungs, then I'm going to use it to build the kingdom of God. And so he goes on in the next part of this verse. He says, so I really don't know which is better. You know how many times I've read this scripture and it didn't jump out to me the way that it did this past couple days? I mean, he just got done saying, and I quote this scripture all the time, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I look forward to the day I'm standing before Jesus Christ, but I will continue to do the work while I'm here. But I understand that there's something better waiting for me. But now he just got done saying, listen, if I'm here, it's going to be to produce more fruit. It means that the church is going to grow. That means people are going to get saved. That means the body's going to be edified. That means the gospel's going to go forward. Then he continues on and he says, I don't even know which one's better. Like, here's the comparison. I can enter into a place where there's no more sickness, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering, just standing and worshiping the Lord every single day. Or I can be here in prison, or I can get beat up, but I can see the body of Christ continue to grow. I don't know which one's better. What? He may not have had food for a couple days when he wrote this. You know what he just said? If I'm doing God's work, and I'm staying connected to the Father, and I'm entering into a place of worship, and I'm fully connected to what God wants to do here on this earth. Listen, if I get to heaven, I get to stand before the glory of God. But as I'm seeing the fruit here on earth, I'm going to stand before the glory of God. I'm going to make sure that while I'm here, I'm connected to the source. I don't have to wait to get to heaven to be connected to Him. I don't have to wait to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, to be able to experience the fullness of who God is. Listen, you can experience it today if you're willing to go into the highways and the byways, compel them to come, to tell the world, listen, you don't have to die and go to hell, to spend every day building His church, filling these seats, watching the body of Christ grow. Listen, let's stay connected to God by offering up our lives as a living sacrifice to Him. There is nothing better than doing the will of the Lord. You will never find, there's no job, there's no relationship, there's no house, there's no car, there's no drug. Listen, none of that can replace the fullness of God in your life. We need to stay connected to Him. He goes on, I am torn between these two desires. I long to go be with Christ, which is far better for me. But for your sake, it's better that I continue to live. You know, I think I've told this story before. And I remember I was driving to work one day, and it was a really heavy day. There was a lot going on in the world, and I was tired. And I was talking to God on my way to work, and I said, God, I'm ready for you to come back. Maranatha, Lord, I'm ready. And as soon as the words came out of my mouth and I said, I'm ready, God gave me a vision. Go ahead and put it up on the screen, Jason. He showed me a valley lined up with people. And he says, you may be ready, but they're not. Go tell the world the good news. Go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go finish well. See, listen, you may be tired, you may be weary, but there are people that's out there in the world that if they die today, they're going to go to hell. And it's your job to go out and tell them that they don't have to, that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price so that they can spend eternal life in heaven, so that they can step into the fullness of God in their life as well. We have a responsibility to show the love of God, to continue to fight the good fight of faith, to offer up our lives as a living sacrifice, bringing worship to God, saying, listen, Lord, it's not about me, but it's all about you. I need to speed up. Whew. The life of worship to the Lord leads to renewing your thinking. See, the more you surrender to God and the more you worship God, the more He renews your thinking. The more connected you are to the Father, the more your mindset begins to change. You can't be around God and stay the same. If you're connected to Him, He's going to fix you. And can I tell you something? We all need fixing. But see, the more you spend time, the more you spend surrendering, the more you spend worshiping, the more your mind's going to begin to change. The more you're going to understand that the things of this world have nothing to offer you, but Jesus already gave you everything. I want to read from Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. The first part of verse number 2. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the more time you spend with God, the more transformation that takes place because your mind starts to shift. You will see things differently. You will know Him differently. All of a sudden, the things that you were once sold out for, you'll realize that they offer no value to you. But the things that He's asking you to sell out for, you realize it's all the value that you need. And the things that you're storing up here on earth are for eternity. And you're not going to burn up like hay and stubble, but you're going to take it with you. Why? Because you're building the kingdom of God, doing His work. But see, the more time you spend with Him, the more time your mind begins to change. Because again, you see the fruit of what happens when you spend your time with Jesus. You see the fruit of your obedience to God. You see the fruit when He tells you to lay something down. Can I tell you something? Listen, it's holding you back anyways. The things that He's asking you to lay down is nothing but a weight that you've been carrying your whole entire life, wondering why your back hurts and why your knees hurt. Listen, you might, well, I'm just getting old. Listen, yeah, it's the old baggage that we carry around that's causing us to not want to stand up straight because we're too focused on the things of this world, trying to hold on to something that's holding us down. When He says, hey, if you're willing to release it, give it to me. I'll show you the fruit of what happens. I'll show you the goodness of God when you're willing to get rid of what's in your hand. If you're willing to lay that down at the altar for me, I'm going to show you the benefits as I make transformation in your life. And then here's what's going to happen. Your mind is going to start to see the goodness of God. Your mind is going to start to understand that guess what? The promises of God are good for you. As you open up his word and you apply it in your everyday life, oh my gosh, everything begins to change. I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8 through verse number 9. Paul gets done talking in verse number 4 in the beginning, and he says, hey, listen, you want that peace in your life, that peace that surpasses understanding? That peace that when you look at and you're wondering whether or not the interest rates are going to go back up again? You want peace knowing that I'm going to take care of you? Do you want peace knowing when you go to buy eggs and it's $11 a dozen? Gas is $5? You want peace? When you've lost a loved one, or you have all of these things that are coming at you on a regular basis, you're trying to figure out, why would I have peace? See, the world won't understand why you have peace. It surpasses understanding. Why? Because your peace is no longer in the circumstances, but your peace is in Christ Jesus. And so he's saying, listen, if you want to get a hold of this peace, here's what has to happen. Verse number 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. See, we got to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. We need to fix our eyes on the only one that's worthy of praise. If you want peace, look at Jesus. Don't look at the news. If you want peace, look at Jesus. Don't look at the economy. He says, if you want to get yourself to a place, stop waiting for a politician to make your life better. Because none of them are going to lay their lives down for you. Matter of fact, they got all their back-end deals going. Ready to take our $5 right out of our wallet the minute we stick it back in our pocket. But Jesus says, listen, don't fix your eyes on those things. Fix your eyes on the only thing that is worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all the things you've learned and received from me. Everything that you've heard from me and saw me doing. See, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. We have to understand, he says, as long as I'm living out the gospel in my life, watch what I'm doing. Follow what I'm doing. He goes on, he says, then the God of peace will be with you. See, if you want God on your side, then we need to focus on what he says. We need to focus on what he's doing. We need to focus on his word. We need to allow our minds to be renewed, no longer focusing on the things of this world, but setting our eyes on the eternal things of Jesus Christ. And as we do, peace will overtake us. No longer will we be sad, frustrated, discouraged, worried about what's going to happen in the next economy. All we're going to worry about is whether we're serving Jesus, doing the will of the Father, if we're moving forward for the kingdom building purposes of God. As we're doing those things, listen, God's going to be right there beside us. He's going to be watching over us. He's going to be taking care of us. He's going to be providing for us. All we got to do is fix our eyes on what is worthy of praise. See, as you do the things that God has asked you to do, as you lay things down at the altar, as you fix your eyes in worship of him, as you spend time renewing your mind with the things of God, listen, you can't help but change. And once you renew your thinking, then you will understand that God's will for me draws others to him. See, as you apply God's will in your life, it'll build his kingdom. Now, I'm not saying somebody else's will. See, there's many members, but one body. There was a will that Paul had to live out, which was different than the will that Peter had to live out, which is different than the will that Stephen had to live out. You see where I'm going with this? Every single person has their assignment. But when we live our life out to fulfill the will of God in our life, trusting in him, operating in his grace, submitted to his plan fully. Listen, it will start to bring change in the people around you. You want to figure out how to reach your family? Start living the will of God out in your life. You want to figure out how to reach your neighbor? Start living the will of God out in your life. You want to figure out how to reach the people at the grocery store? Listen, when we live out the will of God in our life, it will bring transformation because people will see the goodness of God when you do what he's asked you to do and you walk in obedience to his word. Second half of Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. He says, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that is, or that which is good and acceptable and perfect. See, when you're willing to lay your life down as a sacrifice, you will prove the will of God in your life. Here's what happens when you prove the will of God in your life. Philippians chapter 1. Verse number 25 through verse number 26. He says, knowing this. Now remember, Paul just got done in the verses before saying, listen, I am willing to continue to serve God regardless of how good it's going to be in heaven. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to see the fruit of God by maintaining what God wants me to do. I know that God is going to set me free because I understand the benefit for you, which means that it's not just that Paul's patting himself on the back. Paul knows that he's going to go out and do the work of the ministry. Paul knows that he's going to go out and build up people. Paul knows that he's going to continue to grow the church. And so he says, I know this is going to be beneficial. So here's what happens. He says, knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so that I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. See, not just out there for the lost, but those who are here in the body of Christ as well. You have a responsibility to sharpen your brothers and sisters in Christ, to live out the will of God in your life and let them know that they can live out the will of God in their life as well, giving them joy in their faith. He says, I know that my life is going to be spared. God is not finished with me yet. The assignment that's on my life is to build the church, to go out and to bring joy in your faith. It's not about building my faith. It's about building your faith. As I build your faith, listen, God will build my faith, but I have a responsibility to go out and do the assignment that was given to me. And he goes on, and he says in verse number 26, and when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because what he is doing through me. I love the way the Passion's Translation says this. He says, when I am freed to come to you, my deliverance will give you a reason to boast even more in Christ. See, as you fulfill the call of God on your life, it's going to cause others to boast in Jesus Christ. As you walk in the faithfulness of God in your life, it will draw others to build up their faith in their life. As we put our trust in God in our life, the world around will see and want to put their trust in Christ in their life. See, we have a responsibility to continue to lay down our life because he's already given his. If you're here in this room today and you've surrendered your heart and life over to Jesus Christ and you're going to heaven and you're excited about that, do we want others to be excited about that as well? Then let's go out and build the church. Amen? Amen. Listen, what did we learn tonight? A life of sacrifice will lead us to a place of worship. It will renew our thinking, and it will draw others to Christ. If you got something from the Word of God, will you give him a praise? Oh, man. Hey, listen, before we leave tonight, I want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to surrender their heart and life over to Jesus Christ. Because how sad it would be if we get in our car, drive home, our heart stops, we get into a car accident, something happens, and our life comes to an end, and we stand before Jesus Christ, and we hear the words, go from me, I never knew you. See, just because you showed up to a church service tonight does not mean you're going to heaven. It does not mean that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It means that you have a head acknowledgement, but we want to make sure that you surrender all of your heart and all of your life. You know, one of the things that we talked about tonight, the main topic tonight, fully surrender our life. If you've never surrendered your heart and your life over to Jesus Christ, I want to make sure that before you leave this place tonight, that you have a relationship with Jesus. Now, you might be sitting here going, well, Brian, I don't know what that means. Well, that's okay. There was a man by the name of Nicodemus. He didn't understand what that meant. He comes to Jesus. He says, Jesus, what do I got to do to get to heaven? And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He says, well, I don't understand how to do that. I'm an old man. How do I climb back into my mother's womb? Praise God, that's not how we get there. He says, Nicodemus, what's born of the flesh is flesh, but what's born of the spirit is spirit. See, you need to die to yourself so that you can have life with him. You need to say, listen, I'm going to no longer live my life for me, but I'm going to live my life fully surrendered to him. It's by saying, listen, from this day forward, I'm going to surrender my heart and my life living for Jesus. When you make that decision, the Bible says when you confess him with your mouth and believe it with your heart, you will be saved. So we want to lead you into a confession this morning, but you have to be the one to do it. Listen, you might be saying, well, listen, Brian, I've been brought up in church my whole life. I know all the scriptures. I probably can read them better than you, and I wouldn't be surprised because, listen, I'm not that smart. But just because you were raised in church your whole life does not mean that you're going to go to heaven. Because you sat in a church service that you're going to go to heaven. Because you dropped some change in the offering bucket as it went by, that does not get you into heaven. Because you tell a few coworkers that you go to church on Sunday. No, Jesus is not looking for the superficial action of church. See, he's not looking for the act of sacrifice. He's looking for a thankful heart of sacrifice. Understanding that he died for each and every one of us so that we can spend eternal life with him. That he was willing to go to the cross and endure the most gruesome death so that you could have a choice. You know what's amazing to me about this? He didn't even do it so that you will. He did it so you could. You still have a choice of whether you're willing to surrender your heart and life over to him. But I want to give you the opportunity to do that today. Because again, how sad it would be that you have a cross around your neck, you got a Jesus tattoo on your arm, you've done all the right things, you know all the Christianese, you know how to tell people how you're blessed and highly favored by the Lord. But the reality is that there's no relationship with Jesus. And if you were to die, you'd end up in hell. And how scary that would be. So I want to give you an opportunity. If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. Never made a wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ, I'm speaking to you. Not sure today, let's make sure today. I'm speaking to you. Made a decision at one point, but went back living your life your own way, doing your own thing, I'm speaking to you. It's time to be sold out for Jesus today. If you came into this place not fully committed to Jesus Christ, commit today, surrendering your heart and your life to him. I'm going to make it real simple. Here in a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Clap my hands like this. When I clap my hands, here's what I want you to do. I want you to raise your hand, saying, I want to surrender all of my heart and all of my life to Jesus Christ. Well, listen, Brian, if I raise my hand in this place, I'm going to be embarrassed. The person next to me is going to think I'm weird. They're not going to understand. This person thinks that I've been going to church my whole life. They'll not. If I raise my hand, I'm going to be embarrassed. Are you willing to sacrifice your pride? Are you willing to lay down your life? Are you willing to forego what you feel in the flesh, to drop down your pride at the altar and say, I want to live my life for Jesus Christ? See, we can sit there and say, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to sit here. Doesn't matter. I'll make this confession later on down in my life. Pastor Dan says it all the time. I'll make a deathbed confession. You know, there are plenty of people that did not know when their day or hour was going to come. There was no deathbed confession. There was a massive heart attack or car accident. Or how about you go to bed and you just don't wake up? Listen, you don't know the day nor the hour. Don't play with your eternal life. Make the decision today to surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ. When I count to three, again, if you've been running from God instead to God, I'm speaking to you. Never made a wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ, I'm speaking to you. Not sure today, make sure today. Backslid, went back doing your own thing. And you're like, well, Brian, once saved, always saved. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. It's a choice you have to make. When I count to three, clap my hands together. If you want to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, get ready to get your hand up. One, two, three. Anybody in this house today? I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? Want to make a decision to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ? I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? Anybody else today? Maybe you're sitting there and you're going, man, I see hands pointed over here. If I didn't see your hand, I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else? You're saying, Brian, I'm too wrapped up. Maybe you're like me on the side of Calamasa Boulevard. Living your life, doing your own thing. Listen, don't wait for a cop to come pick you up. Don't wait till it's the end of your life. You have an opportunity today. I'm going to sweep through one more time real quick. I'm out of time. But if you need to raise your hand, you didn't raise your hand yet, but you know you should have raised your hand just real quick. Lift up your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else? Can we give God a hand? Oh, man. This is my favorite part of church service. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You said, I'm going to surrender my heart and my life to Jesus Christ, right? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you, again, stick your pride to the side. The only thing that keeps you in that seat is pride. If you said you're going to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, everybody's going to stand up. And when they do, I want you to get out of your seat. Come stand here at the altar. I want to pray with you. I want to shake your hand. I want to do some things with you. So all you got to do real quick, as everybody stands to their feet, if you said yes to Jesus Christ, get out of your seat. Come stand up here at the altar.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness.
Praise God.
The precious blood.
Best decision of your life.
Jesus.
Best decision of your life right here.
God
bless you. God bless you. Man. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. Praise God. Come on. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Look, in 2001, Set Free Home at a men's rehabilitation center, I made a decision to surrender my heart and life over to Jesus Christ. It wasn't easy. It was a fight. Because every day you're going to wake up wondering, is this real? Yep, it's real. Living proof. It's real. You're going to wonder if you're good enough. Listen, he already said you're good enough when he went to the cross and he died for you. And so we're going to say a prayer, inviting Jesus Christ into our heart and into our life. Everybody's going to repeat it with us, right? But as we bow our heads and close our eyes, you're going to say this prayer. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to believe God at what his word says. You're going to continue to ask him, what is it that I can lay down at your feet today? What is it that I can give back? Because like I said, we just celebrated Easter, talking about what he gave up so that you could have this moment right here. That's how valuable each one of you are. That he went to the cross and he paid the ultimate price so that he can live in eternity with you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that because of your shed blood, we can stand here today and confess and declare that we're a Christian, that we're born again, headed for heaven, and denying hell. So come, Holy Spirit, into my heart and into my life. Lead me, guide me, motivate me, and encourage me that I may be all that you've called me to be. I thank you, Lord, that once again, because of the price you paid, I am now set free. I now set from death to life, living in eternity with you. Help me, Lord, as I live out my life according to your word, that I will honor you and build your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, so here's what we want to do. This is Pastor Joel. He's my friend over here. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to take you out to a room right over here. All he wants to do is he wants to get some information into your hand. The book that Pastor Antonio was talking about, he wants to get that into your hand. He's going to explain it to you. Now that you made this decision, what do I do next, right? Because now you're probably wondering, okay, I surrendered my heart and life over to Jesus Christ. What does that mean? He's going to explain that to you. He's going to introduce you to a friend that's going to come alongside of you because you need somebody to sharpen you. You need somebody to encourage you. You need someone to build you up. You need somebody to call you and make sure that you come back to church on Sunday, right? And so he's going to introduce you to a friend. He's going to let you come back right into the service, and you can be back with your family. So go ahead and make a left-hand turn. Follow Pastor Joel. Amen, amen, amen. Well, listen. I appreciate each and every one of you. Let's go ahead and lift our hands and just thank God. Heavenly Father, I just want to say a blessing over each and every person that stepped foot onto this campus, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you bless them in their coming and bless them in their going. I ask that you bless them in their work and bless them in their schooling. I ask that you bless them in their home and in their relationships. I ask that you bless them as they put their hand to the plow and build your kingdom. I thank you, Lord God, for the seeds that were planted, that it's going to produce much fruit. I thank you, Lord God, that each and every person here is on assignment to build your church. And Lord God, I thank you that we're going to continue to see this place grow. I thank you that this sanctuary is going to be too small and that we're going to see lines out the door. It's not going to be only Easter that it's full. Listen, we're going to have to add services because you're good enough, Lord God, to come to church. So we thank you for each and every person. We ask that you bless them. And we say right now, out loud and in faith, that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.